Happy Sabbath, everybody.
Happy Sabbath.
It's a very sad day for the Chapel Boys. We are in pain. We're important. Our dear brother, White Man, was a healer and someone that we came to appreciate and love in this community. I've been here probably for a little bit over 2 years, and there's no doubt that everyone you talked to was touched by Mr. Flyer in many ways, from the little ones to the old ones. It's going to be a time of pain. It's okay. It's okay for us to mourn, for us to cry. It's okay. And just a day like today, I think that Mr. Clyde, and I know that he was excited about mission, was the core of what he believed. Every time he talked about church, every time he talked about each one of the members of the church, it was a passion to see each one of us in heaven. And that's why we'll talk about mission today. It's a moment for us to reflect and to think about what should we do? How should we live our lives? How should we spend every minute of our lives on this earth, knowing that we don't know what's going to happen next, but knowing that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, knowing that there is hope, and knowing that this earth is just a small period of time in our lives, we're just passing through. But after this life comes eternity.
Amen. Okay.
And we'll talk a little bit about that. At this time, I just want to introduce a couple of individuals who are here visiting us. And before I do that, I want to thank Ms. G. Mickey. Is that right? Made a fabulous, wonderful job with this qualification to keep us all updated on what's happening in our church, Chapel West. Thank you so much, Sister Mickey, for this beautiful. And she decided to talk about the podcast right at the beginning of it. So and give it to us today. So what a wonderful and timely magazine and moment to put. And with us we have the principal of School 49, Ms. Rhonda Akers. And let me tell you just a couple of things. Flag Club, if you haven't received this magazine, it's a partnership. It's a time for it's a program designed to partner schools with churches. It's by working together we're fulfilling each other's mission. Mrs. Akers is the principal of School 49, as I say. She is a passionate Christian. She loves the Lord. And she was so enthusiastic to hear about the possibility of churches, Christians, coming to public schools and helping their children, West Indian Africans, with many things. She'll tell us a little bit about what Flight Club has meant for the school district. And also, Ms. Kathy D, who is a member of our church and works at School 46, she has many things to tell us about how our efforts as followers of Christ have made a difference in that community as well. And let me just tell you one thing that Romans chapter 12 says. Verses 5 on. This is a beautiful passage that talks to us about our identity and about what we're supposed to do as followers of Christ. Verses 1 and 2 are the verses that we often read, and they're so powerful because they give us the core, the summary of it all. It says that we shouldn't conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind. And then it talks about how that way we're able to test and approve God's beautiful, good, pleasing, and perfect will. And a little bit down in verse 5, it tells us that, number one, we are at unity in Christ. In Christ, we become one family. And then verse 6 says that we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man is prophesying, let him use in proportion to his faith. And then he goes on and tells us, serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. The word I want to highlight before Rhonda Akers talks to us is the word faith. And this is the core of this message. As faith increases, so should our partnering with God in ministry. As we understand what it means to follow Jesus Christ, as we understand what the gifts, talents, and abilities the Lord has given us, we also should apply that into the community of faith. How can I use the gifts, talents, and abilities the Lord has given me? Because they are the God. They're God's. They're not ours. God gave it to us, those gifts. How can I use that in this context of the community of believers? Furthermore, when we use those gifts, talents, and abilities outside the community of faith, that becomes mission. And that's what we are doing in School 49 and School 46. Using our God-given gifts, talents, and abilities for the benefits of our community. And by the way, Brother Mike, we need you Monday to tell that story. Because I'll tell you later, but we need a teacher for you back. So if you can rehearse this story, we will need it on Monday. So with us, Rhonda Akers, thank you so much for coming and taking the time to share with our churches what Flight Campus meant for us. You've been a faithful partner, and we really appreciate it. We are honored to be able to.
Allowing me to visit and to share with you a little about William Penn Elementary School number 49. Currently, it is the largest Indianapolis public school, K through 6. We have anywhere from 794 students to 804. Our enrollment fluctuates a little bit throughout the year. And it's just a wonderful school. We have an awesome student body. We have wonderful staff. And it's not without we have lots of visitors who come in, and when the visitors come in, before they leave, for whatever reason, they feel compelled to come back to the office and share with whoever is there at the front desk that our school is very different. They can't put their finger on it. They don't quite know what it is, but they don't ever leave without coming and saying, there is something special about this school. I believe what's special about School 49 is that the Spirit of the Lord dwells within our building.
Amen.
And I just smile. My secretary, she is a believer. She loves the Lord. And she knows. And so it doesn't go without her saying, God bless you, when somebody leaves after they share something like that. Just because we are a public school doesn't mean we can't worship the Lord, pray while we're there, and bless people as they leave.
Amen.
We say the Pledge of Allegiance and have a moment of silence every morning. When we first started the moment of silence, I said to the kids over the loudspeaker, I don't always know what visitors are there, that these are the things you can do during that moment of silence. If you pray at home and you know what prayer is, you can pray during that time. You can just sit in silence and reflect, set goals for the day. But I believe we have a lot of students who know about God. And they may know just a little bit, but they know enough to know that when they are praying, that's who's listening to them, and that there is unconditional love there. And I think that's what truly makes our school different. The Lord is there, and He's working every day. So when Nelson came to me and talked to me about Flight Camp, it seemed like a natural thing to do. There was never any fear that, you know, we would have somebody say, oh, you can't do that because we're talking about God. Because we can talk about God. Those kids volunteer to come. I can't necessarily tell them how they have to believe, but I can pray for them. And if they come to me and they say they want to have a conversation about it, I can listen and I can have a conversation with them. And I don't have to be fearful because I know if what I'm doing is in the name of God, I will be protected by Him.
Amen.
So Flag Camp started, and I know there was a lot of work that went behind the scenes, but from where I was standing, everything just fell right into place. And it's actually our largest club. There are about 75 students from School 39 who come religiously every Monday and stay. I believe a lot more signed up, but 75, I believe, is the most consistent number of kids who come. And the students, they do sin. I want to come and listen to that story when you do it because I want to hear what they think sin is and some of the examples they get. But they have hearts that are open to learning. And they have hearts that I believe are already filled with the Spirit. And they're going to continue to grow. And I may never know how many of those students actually give their hearts to Christ during Flag Camp, but I do know that I have faith in God. And He is doing the work every day through the volunteers who come. And I don't have to worry, and I don't have to wonder, because I know that those seeds are being planted, and that God is doing a great work. So thank you very much for letting me share, and thank you very much for volunteering to come to our school.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Dr. Steve invited on the paper, so I was excited, because this is Sister Nikki says, sometimes we don't know, unless we're involved in the programs the church is involved in, so you don't know what's happening out there. That's why we, from time to time, we have to just take a break and share what's happening out there. And we certainly appreciate the sisters for coming and telling us from your perspective what's happening. By the way, you are welcome. All of you are welcome to join us. We always need volunteers, and that's part of what we do. And people say, well, you got a lot of volunteers already on. There's not enough. I tell you what, we are a community of faith, adopted a community of believers. What does that mean? That's actually a theological concept that I'm going to share in just a few minutes. And adoption happens when a group of people go to a place and spend time with those kids and say, we love you. In the name of the Lord, we love you. She's always willing to say, to do whatever she's asked. She was excited that Brother Abraham was coming today. And I said, would you want to share something? She said, yes. I said, oh my, say yes. And I'm excited you say yes, because School 46 is another sister school that we are also adopting. You are the engine of that friend community, and we appreciate that you open the door to the school as a member of this community of faith, also as a leader in that school. And we're going to invite you to come up and also share with us how is Chapel West placed in that community, and what else can we do to continue partnering with even the work is done.
Well, the first thing is, it's hard to tell Nelson no. He is very persistent. And I do want to say, I've known Rhonda for a long time, and I have great respect for her. Her school is about twice as big as our school, and she is the center by which it does respond. She really is, I look at her and I think she's a wonderful person and a wonderful principal. And our school is much like her school. It's only a little bit smaller, but you could say it's almost like twin schools, except we go to eighth grade. What I want to talk about is the difference that I see in my kids since with all of the people that are coming into our school and what you're doing. My kids are excited when the school started, because we did Flag Club last year. We went over to Ronald's Grace enough to let us get on a bus and come over to her school and do Flag Club over there. And then it grew. We had some meetings over the summer at one of the churches right there in the neighborhood with our kids, and it just grew. And so when we started signing up this year, she had over 100 and I had over 60 children that had signed up for. We consistently have about 35 kids out of that 60 who come every week. And whenever there's a break, my kids are saying, Miss Stephen, when are they coming back? When are they going to be here? They're always so excited. They miss it when they're not there. And they miss the people who come and make them feel special because they care about them. And I look in their faces and I just see the joy blossoming out of them. And that's because of your dedication to them. They're learning so much. And I have a parent coming to me saying, well, our young kids in the summer, I love this. My kids are learning so much. I have some parents who are talking to me about, well, is there something that parents can do about having some Bible studies and such stuff? I just want you to know that I always felt at home at my school. And I think it's because I know, I've been there for 17 years. I know so many people there, but one thing that I've seen is that there's a softening, I think, with some of our kids, with some of our staff. When we first started having flag camp, I had parents say, well, how can you do that? There's not supposed to be. And there was never one problem from the outset. You can't do that. You can't have people come here doing this. And so I just kind of like, some things I look at as, that's a God kind of thing, so I don't have to worry about it. And that's what I did. I just said, that's a God kind of thing. Flag club will go if that's what it's supposed to do. And it's just been really amazing to me how much it has grown. How much every time we have a big thing with parents to come, every time we have more parents showing up. And it's just, you guys are awesome. That's all I can say. You guys are awesome, and thank you for coming and making a difference, because every day, when I say my kids, I'm talking about those kids at that school. They are my kids, and they know that. And it's just an awesome thing that you come and you help them, and I just love to see how they're coming along. I don't know any other way to say it except that's what it is.
Steve wasn't too bad. Kathy's very passionate about what she does. It's just like Mrs. Hager, so we call her in the school system. Many of you probably haven't seen it or haven't really know what it looks like. And this is a video we would like to show now that really summarizes it all. And I want you to pay attention to it, and then I'll close with the meaning of what we're doing. So this is the work of April and Aquila taking pictures, and April putting the video together. And I hope that you enjoy as we explain your pictures to me.
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, nature is crying. you saw that little piece of branch that Mike brought to us. Nature is also suffering the consequences of sin of this world. Now, there's more. 23. Not only so, nature's not the only one that's groaning, that's in pain. But we ourselves, we're in pain, who have the first fruit of the Spirit. Here you go. Those who receive the Holy Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as son. So we are adopted by faith when we receive Jesus Christ. Amen. But not yet. It is in the future where that adoption is going to happen. And it says more. The redemption of our bodies. And let me stop here for a second. Not only, well, let me continue and close with this. So we are also growing in pain. Nature. We ourselves. And then 24 says, for in this hope we were saved. But we hope that if sin is not hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. It's about patience. It's about hope. And this is the most powerful part of this verse, verse 26 of this passage. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us, and here it comes, with groans that words cannot express. The Holy Spirit also groans in pain. What that means is that when you and I, when our community of faith, Chapel West, is in pain, is groaning, because one of our own have gone, the Holy Spirit is groaning too. He's crying with us. But here's the powerful part. Verse 27. It groans that words cannot express. It's so painful that no words are coming out of his mouth. He's groaning in pain. And 27 says, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will.
Amen.
Monday, we're at flight camp. Some of our volunteers received a phone call. It just happened that one of our volunteers' father committed suicide right through a flight club in one of the properties of the Robert Brinkles family, right there. What a tragedy. We've grown in pain. We don't understand. We can't express how we feel. We in vain ask why. But then we receive an email, Brother Fly, same week. Within hours apart, I received an email from my home country of a boy, a family that we loved very much, whose son works in the conference of Venezuela in a little town. He was studying late at night for his master's degree in the conference office, and he was killed right there. Last night was the funeral in my home church in Venezuela, Caracas, Venezuela. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is crying with us. But let me hear you. Let me tell you this. Adoption, not yet, is coming. And what that means is that my dad, look what it says before that, Abba Father, he's coming for us.
Amen.
He understands our pain, our suffering. He's actually suffering with us. And he says, hold on, my child. I'm coming.
Amen.
I'm coming.
Amen.
There will be no more pain.
Yes.
No more suffering. No more tears. I'm coming. And this time is for eternity. Forever. I'm going to be with you. And that's what we groan for that adoption, for what? For that day. And we will be with Jesus forever.
Amen.
Don't you feel excited to hear that? And now, as we contemplate that, as we think and meditate with Paul on what adoption, by the way, no one better than Paul, they're still by the thoughts of man. You know who Paul was? A persecutor, a killer, following. And in Galatians, Paul expresses himself, I want to destroy the church of Christ. No one better to talk about grace than Paul. And Paul had that encounter with Jesus, and he said, this is saving grace. No wonder that Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the first one. I understand what it means to persecute God's children. Probably he had that in his mind throughout his life. It was hard. Well, it was an adoption when he found healing. And he said, the Lord, regardless of my past, he said, you are my child. And I am adopting you. And your sins are forgiven. Isn't that beautiful? Brothers and sisters, that's what we're doing over in 946. We're adopting a community that's hurting. A community of pain. And we go there week after week and we tell them, you know what? I'm adopted. I'm a child of God. I received Jesus Christ in my heart. And I want you to tell you something. The Lord cares about you. Right. The Lord cares. He's crying with you this moment. The pain, the sufferings you're going through, when we come here, we're telling you, Jesus is crying with you. Always be crying with you. And this is just a little token of what's going to happen. And when we feed them, when we spend time with them, helping them get forward, with listening to their stories, and when we introduce them to Jesus Christ, we're telling them there's hope. And that's what those verses mean. Hope. Here, but not yet. One day, we'll finally be adopted. Our daddy. That's what that word means. Our daddy. And I hope that as we mourn together, as we celebrate the life of Brother Clay, we also understand this adoption. We're hopeful that that adoption is going to happen soon. We'll be reunited with our Father, with our brothers and sisters. We haven't seen that passed away. And that day will be what a day, brothers and sisters. We'll get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be.
Amen.
And we'll see Jesus and shout victory.
Amen.
And I hope that you meditate on that throughout the week. And that you understand how the Lord has called you, particularly, to be an agent of hope in this community. Where you live, where you work, where you stop.
Mommy.
Where the Lord blesses.
Amen.